good one. When the government speaks in its corporate capacity, it descends to the level or something like not.
It descends to the level of an ordinary corporation.
No, I'm telling you what I tweeted.
Oh.
It descends to a something. What I basically said was, a position that is equal to every other participant in the marketplace. In other words, when the government speaks in its corporate capacity, it enters into the marketplace equal to every other participant. Now, if the judiciary is functioning in its corporate capacity, mm-hmm. it's doing the same thing.
Right.
So now let's just talk about the role that the judiciary plays when what you're really talking about are the financial or fiscal or monetary interests. Okay, so you see that this is very interesting. What is the remedy that is almost 99% of all judicial judgments or opinions or decisions or whatever? They're monetary. And the only exception to that rule are the injunctions you can get that says you must stop this thing.
You must stop this, yeah.
Right? And it's either permanent or it's temporary or whatever. But we're still, all of this for the most part always reduces down to the money. Now, since the courts themselves are corporate entities, and we know this because they're registered in the, what do you call that, Fred was one of those databases where you've got DUNS numbers and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the registry.
Huh?
The Federal Registry.
Well, in the Federal Registry, there's two or three of these databases, and I forget the name of the one I'm trying to think about, but it's the fact that they may call themselves a not-for-profit,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But they still are building a pension fund, and they have an investment portfolio. So you've got a conflict of interest there that has to get confronted. We're going to major question doctrine here, okay? You have to confront this question. To the extent that the judiciary can distance itself from its own self-interest
mm-hmm.
is a crucial question. And that goes to the why they can't coddle a litigant. I mean, they can't express bias. Well, here you've got all these attorneys in the court trying to make a living, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, and the court actually does go out of its way to protect its officers.
Well, you got to read this guy's RICO complaint because he's basically laying out the mechanics of how the whole thing is assembled, and it's very clear that you have a conflict of interest. You have only one interest.
Mm-hmm.
These people who have a monopoly on access to agency in our courts
mm-hmm.
have allegedly their interest is to serve their client's interest, but then they have a dual position of being an officer of the court to help the court resolve this matter, but they get paid from the victim, unlike in a criminal case
mm-hmm.
where everybody's elected and paid by the people.
Mm-hmm.
No, these people are paid from their victim's wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So all the motivation here is one-sided. There is a conflict of interest. There's only one interest at play here.
They're profiteers.
Yes.
They're profiteers.
Yes. And I was thinking it was Brandeis, and I'm forgetting which case it was. It was a very famous case
mm-hmm.
where he said, in his opinion, he said that
when government
conducts business, it does so on business terms. That means it descends to the level of an ordinary corporation or private individual.
Go to Brandeis University. It's on their front page.
Okay. But yeah, no, I downloaded it one day not long ago
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because and
well
it's,
then see in my tweet, what I said was, no corporate fiction can claim a monopoly on ideas without committing treason.
Well, this what we're seeing here is out-and-out sedition, color of law sedition.
No, it is. It is. And that's what I look. It goes to my question of monopoly. Look, it doesn't matter who it is that makes the claim. But when you claim a monopoly over ideas, Okay? I mean, look, how does science work? Somebody has to question or doubt your interpretation of the data or your conclusion, perhaps even your methodology.
Olmsted v. United States. In his dissenting opinion, he pointed out that governments conduct business on business terms.
Well, because it has a corporate capacity, and a corporation is a fiction of law.
Right, just like
it
government.
It can't claim superiority over living souls that created it in the first place. And again, the major question doctrine is national security. That means the well-being of the whole body politic, not just part of it.
Yeah, well, somebody's got that confused.
No, they're predatory. They're predatory. There's no question about that.
No question of it.
And it's abuse of power, abuse of discretion, abuse of all that kind
of
stuff.
Elder abuse, abduction, robbery,
and where
processing and murder.
But see, that's a violation of the 14th Amendment. Where's due process?
Yeah, where is...
Prove it up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This guy I just talked to, he went to court because he was trying to get his brother some medical help. He loves his brother and doesn't realize it. But then as he leaves behind his back, now they're depriving him of his... he's the trustee of his parents' trust. They took that away from him after he appeared to plead for his brother to get some help. And then after he left, they do this behind his back. No due process, just like in the Mintz case. Not even an evidentiary hearing, not
That's
a witness
right.
testimony.
Usurpers.
Yeah, yeah. These are criminals operating under the color of law and using our court system.
They're operating under letters of mark.
It's, yeah, letters of mark. That's what their bar credential...
That's right.
Yeah.
And they would claim to have qualified immunity. Oh, really? For criminal conduct?
Yeah, well... That's why you have to plead RICO.
Because that's a trespass.
Well, you have to plead RICO because everything else is they're clothed in nakedness with these doctrines of impunity.
That's right.
All self-serving.
Yeah.